Welcome to another podcast of The Shrink Is In. It's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast, and today we're going to talk about mentoring, not tutoring, but mentoring youth. And I'm not an expert in the field, but my guest is. So my guest today is Jill Gurr, who's the director of Create Now, which is a creative arts mentoring organization that she founded in 1996. She has trained hundreds of volunteers to mentor thousands of the most troubled children in Southern California. She's also a produced screenwriter and worked as a script supervisor on award-winning movies around the world. She's been featured on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams and Anderson Cooper 360. She was one of eight people in the country featured in the exhibition Everyday Heroes at the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, and one of four people in the nation selected by the British Council to represent the U.S. on a global exchange program in South Africa and Northern Ireland. In addition, unlike all of the other guests on my show, Jill is my cousin, and she knows about me as a child than anybody else, because we used to live together during the summers up in the mountains of New York. And so my guest is Jill Gurr.
Oh, thank you so much, Howie. I know everybody calls you Dr. Gurr, but I know Howard Gurr as Howie. We did grow up together in the Catskill Mountains in the summer and many other times throughout the years. And he's almost like a brother. So I'm so grateful to be able to do your show. And thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being there, and keep all the real nasty stuff to yourself.
Oh, wait, I will.
So after years and years of being out there in California and working with kids, you created this program called Create Now. So tell my audience, what is Create Now?
Well, when I discovered, I'm originally from Long Island in New York, but when I've lived in LA for over 30 years, and while we're known as the wealthiest and glamorous city in Los Angeles, we also have the highest poverty rate in the nation. We have the highest number of homeless children and foster youth, and we have the most incarcerated youth in the country. And of course, we're the gang capital of the world. So I discovered all of these troubled kids that really needed support. And what we've done is to identify them throughout the region. We're kind of like eHarmony, where we match volunteers right in their own neighborhood with the types of children that they would like to mentor. They might like little children who are domestic violence victims or homeless or teen moms or substance abusers. And we give them the training and the materials to teach art, music, writing, dance, theater. And we also bring 3,000 or 4,000 children and youth every year to concerts and plays and all kinds of cultural events at premier venues in the region.
That's kind of what inspired you to create this organization.
Well, what inspired me was I spent about 20 years working as a script supervisor on movies and mostly movies. And there were a couple of them that really impacted me. One of them was Menace to Society, which we shot in South Los Angeles. And it really opened my eyes to what goes on in the inner cities in Los Angeles. And the second one was a movie called My Family, Mi Familia. And we were shooting in East Los Angeles, like on a Tuesday night at 3 a.m. And there was an 8-year-old boy and his 11-year-old brother hanging out with the film crew. And I said, "Where are your parents? Don't you have school tomorrow?" And the 8-year-old said, "I don't know where my mother is. And my father, he don't give an F." And I realized there were thousands of these kids that had no parental supervision and so many more that needed our help. I ended up teaching a screenwriting workshop to a group of incarcerated youth. It took me about a year or two to actually be able to get that together because of all the red tape and the resistance that I had. But once I taught this workshop, at the end of it, I had kids wanting to go back to school. I had another kid who was the leader of a gang, ended up having tattoos removed from his neck and his hand. So based on this success, I taught a second screenwriting workshop at a co-ed detention camp, and I got the same results. I met another screenwriter, and I shared my story with her. And she called me the next week and said that her professor at the American Film Institute, Leslie Stevens, wanted to give me $5,000 to start a nonprofit organization. And so 15 years later, Create Now has been recognized globally. Create Now has served around 28,000 kids over the last 15 years. Most of that has been through our cultural excursions, what we call artistic journeys. But even going to a play or a concert can really change a child's life. They can really be turned around. But the mentoring is what works. The mentoring is the relationship that the child builds with an adult or somebody older than them. A lot of youth mentoring where a college student or a high school student might mentor a younger child. It doesn't matter. It could even be peer mentoring. The point is that somebody in the community cares about them enough to volunteer their time for an hour or two a week. And that makes all the difference because the kids that we're serving, and all youth, whether they're at risk or high risk or in trouble or just normal kids, youth and children need support. They need to know that people care about them. And that's what mentoring is.
So it's not tutoring or working with kids academically.
Tutoring is academic studying. It's kind of helping youth to develop their skills in academics. Sometimes mentoring relationships can blossom from this. It's the way to start a mentoring relationship very often. But what differentiates the two is that mentoring is where you build a personal relationship with the child, where you start to learn more about each other on a personal level, who your family is, who your what your interests are. Whereas tutoring is that you just do the academic studies and you're done. And you might have a different tutor at a different time.
So you mentioned an hour as a time frame. Is that a typical time frame for people, or there is no real accepted or typical time?
Well, that's what I love about mentoring. I mean, it really depends on the program that you get involved with. Traditional mentoring is one-on-one mentoring where the mentor commits every week to volunteering for a few hours at the same time, ideally. And that is wonderful. That has the best results. But I believe also in short-term mentoring. I mean, we had a kid who turned his life around with just 1 hour with a mentor. And so the important thing is that the youth or child knows ahead of time what to expect. If they know that you can only come for an hour a week, then they're looking forward to that, and you pack the most time in with that. With many of the youth that create concerns, we're lucky to even get them for an hour, because if they're living in a shelter or a foster group home or a detention camp, they're getting all kinds of counseling and academic training and AA meetings and all this other stuff. So it can be challenging at times to even get them to carve out an hour for the mentor. But very often what they want is the mentor to engage with the child for 1 or 2 hours. I think what also happens is that kids have very short attention spans. And so you find that after an hour or two, they're ready to move on to something else. And it really depends on every individual in that relationship. I mean, a mentor may have a deep relationship with their mentee that they can't wait to get together every week, and they want to spend hours or whole weekends together. And that's a beautiful thing.
Besides the time issues and constraints in terms of kids' schedule, are there any other challenges?
Well, I think there are a number of them, which I go over in my book that I just published, which is called Mentor Youth Now, a guidebook for transforming young lives. What the book details, it's very simple to read. It's got a very clear table of contents. And there are all kinds of issues that come up. For instance, what if your mentee wants to borrow money from you? What about safety issues if you're not comfortable in their neighborhood, or confidentiality issues? What if your mentee tells you something that's really kind of tremendous and deep and you don't think you can handle it? Other challenges might be family interference or bullying. Or how do you deal with issues that may come up if your mentee says, I'm getting bullied at school. How do I deal with it? And you don't know how to handle bullying. I deal with all of these issues in my book, but there are so many more that might come up. And I don't think of them so much as challenges, as just issues that come up that you can use simple common sense to deal with. You can get guidance from such as my book. I'm going to promote that. But also, if you're coordinating your mentoring program through a volunteer coordinator, through an agency or a school, they very often have somebody that's specifically assigned to deal with issues that might come up with mentoring.
You gave us a couple of stories of kids whose lives turned around, but do you have any other success stories you might throw at us?
My greatest success story is Tasha. This is a young lady who started running away from her home in a poor part of South Central when she was 13 years old. And she had a dysfunctional family, and she kept running away and getting involved with older boys and getting arrested for being an accomplice in different crimes and going to juvenile detention camps. She took part in our TV writing workshop. We had a TV writer who taught a class every week for about 8 weeks, and Tasha bonded with her mentor. And so when she left the facility and went back to her home, the mentor continued to meet with her every week and encouraged her to apply for college. She also helped her to apply for a scholarship. And I also bonded with the girl and started to mentor her. And I also introduced her to a couple of other mentors through Create Now. As a result, Tasha got a scholarship from Warner Brothers to go to USC Film School. She was one of 50 people in the world selected to go to their film school. And when she graduated, she went to the University of Chicago and completed her first year of law school. She's now a stand-up comedian, and she's mentoring other kids, and she's just writing film reviews for the Chicago Film Examiner, and just an amazing person. And she said that she owes it all to Create Now and the fact that we were able to support her during the darkest time in her life.
Jill, I understand that Create Now also has some international exposure and is working with populations outside of the United States. Can you tell us more about that?
I'm really excited that for the last year and a half, I've been giving presentations to international diplomats and dignitaries who are selected by our embassies from all over the world through the U.S. State Department. And these presentations have been so popular that the International Visitors Council, which is the adjunct that organizes these trips, gave Create Now the 2011 Community Resource Award. Last year, I was one of the first four Americans ever selected by the British Council to go on a global exchange program. And I spent 6 weeks in South Africa and Northern Ireland with 25 other leaders of youth organizations. And my partner on this program is a gentleman named Rafiki, who runs an orphanage in Rwanda and also does conflict resolution between Hutu and Tutsi youth. So I was able to get a grant from USA for Africa to create a unique new program that's been one of my dream projects since I started Create Now, called Arts Exchange. And what we're doing is we're bringing together Hutu and Tutsi youth in Rwanda with rival Blood and Crip gang members in Los Angeles. And we're using our Introduction to Art workshop over an 18-week period where the youth will be guided in discussions about violence and poverty and conflict and acceptance, and then given materials to create drawings, paintings, sculptures, videos. And the program will culminate with two art exhibitions, one in Kigali and one in Beverly Hills. So it's a very unique project, and the chance to bring together these kids that normally would never have the opportunity to communicate, but thanks to Skype and the internet, we can bring them together. It's really been very fascinating because after the genocide 17 years ago, the government in Rwanda made it against the law to identify if people were Hutu or Tutsis. And so the kids today are all one. They said that they would participate in this program only if they could be known as Rwandans and not as Hutus or Tutsis. Meanwhile, even with all of the years of peace mediations and everything else, it's still very much a challenge to get rival Blood and Crip gang members in the same room, or at least to communicate on an ongoing level. So we're having to work with two different schools and two different neighborhoods in Los Angeles to have the kids communicate through the internet in order to bridge that gap and to bring down the walls. And then through our Artistic Journeys program, we're going to give the kids outings to concerts and plays so they'll get to meet face to face. And hopefully that will start to melt down the gang wars that are going on.
So you mentioned your book, and one of your mentors in your book is actually my mother.
Yes.
She was very thrilled to see that. So it was very nice of you to mention my mother as one of your mentors.
Well, thank you. She was very important to me in my life, especially during my 20s and 30s. Just, I love my Aunt Shirley. That's all I can say. And my Uncle Freddie too. I mean, I think family is so important. And when people think of mentors, they automatically assume that mentors are some stranger that comes into their home and mentors. But mentors are family, they're friends of family, they're neighbors. That's who mentors are. So you might already be mentoring a youth and not even realize it, but your niece, your nephew, your cousin, when they come to you for guidance, you're mentoring them. And that's what my aunt did for me. So I'm really grateful to her for that.
How can people buy your book? Where can they get it?
Well, the best and easiest way is to go to my website, which is www.mentoryouthnow.com. There you have all kinds of information about the book and my own background and a link where you can easily buy the book, which is to me the best way to do it because we also get higher royalties than if you go directly through Amazon. You can buy it through Amazon. They have a look inside where you can see the table of contents and the introduction and a couple of chapters. So what I recommend is that you go to the Amazon site just to look inside and then click on the website to buy the book. And that way we get higher royalties. 20% of the proceeds will be going to Create Now. So the more people that buy the book, then the more children we can serve that need help. And if you would like to email me directly, you can email me at jill@mentoryouthnow.com. And my phone number is 213-747-2777, extension 210.
Jill, I want to thank you for being a guest on my little podcast show. We'll talk more after we end this little podcast. So until next time, this is Dr. Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.